We all love new things, don't we? Somebody said, Keith, I like your new haircut. And thanks a lot. Thankfully, we didn't have a row this time at home as Ruth cutting my hair in the garden. But a new haircut is something that some of us enjoy. But even on the TV, the adverts that we see, we're always being offered something new. New shampoo. New and improved recipe for a better shine. New toothpaste for extra whitening. Crisps have a new and improved taste, and that always gets me. A new iPhone, I think it's the iPhone 11, and there's three options now. Slightly improved, greatly improved price. A new car, new shape, new gadgets, basically drives itself. We're always offered something new. Now, I recognize that new is not always better than old. But as we come to look at the new covenant today in Jesus, it's new and improved. It's a new and a better covenant because the writer to the Hebrew talks about Jesus as a new and better. So as we come to focus on what the covenant of the and what we're celebrating today, we'll be referring back to some of the covenants in the Old Testament as well and seeing how what we embrace today is new and better. But let's rewind, because I know there's lots of opinions, even in this church, about the role of covenants in the Bible. Now, we're not going to go there today, but we're going to focus on the four Old Testament ones already talked of, and the new covenant today. A covenant is really an agreement between two parties, and the covenants we're looking at today are between God and man. Some call it a contract. They're working together. And you're thinking, well, Keith, this sounds pretty boring. Why should I get excited about this today? Well, the exciting thing for us today is that from the beginning of creation till now, until all of eternity in the future, is this reality that God wants to relate to human beings. God wants to bring us back into relationship with him, and covenants have been a key part of that throughout history. The God of the universe, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, wants to work together with you. He wants to partner with you. He wants to give you promises that you can hold on to in a chaotic world. And some of the parts of a covenant are promises, sacrifices, signs, commands, and really a call to worship God, a revelation of who God is. I wonder today, do we just very basically need to be reminded of the amazing reality that God is interested in us? What is man that you are mindful of him? One commentator said, Yahweh is not simply a witness or a guarantor of the covenant as are the gods in the Hittite documents. He is a party to it. He actually enters into covenant relationship with his people. And today, as we focus on the new covenant, we're going to see how the prophecy of Jeremiah was fulfilled and how Christ inaugurated this in the upper room. And Paul told the church at Corinth and tells us today to continue to celebrate this new covenant relationship that we have with God. We're going to see five very short things today that the boys and girls, if you write these down, there's a packet of rulers coming your way. It's a promise to hold to, sacrifice to embrace, a sign to remember, a command to obey, a call to worship. Now, don't worry if you didn't get all of those. We're going to go slightly slower, and you can write them down and tell them to me afterwards. So firstly, a promise to hold to. We all love a promise. We all love whenever somebody promises to do something for us. And even better, we love when somebody fulfills that promise and doesn't break that promise to us. And in all of the covenants of the Bible, God promises to act in a certain way to his people. He promises not to flood the world again to Noah. He promises Abraham a people and a land and a blessing. He promises Moses life to those that would obey the law. And he promises David a kingly line and blessings to flow from that. God is a God who makes promises to us. And God is a God who keeps his promises to us as well. He is a covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. He is faithful in the past to Israel, and he's going to be faithful to us today. Even in the world of a coronavirus pandemic, God is going to be faithful to us. As we seek to rebuild Hamilton Road, not physically, but spiritually, God is going to be faithful to us. We can take that to the bank. See, all of God's promises are yes in Christ, Paul says to the Church of Corinth, and so through him the amen is spoken to us by the glory of God. You say, Keith, how do I know that God keeps his promises? I'm here and I'm struggling to comprehend it. You don't know what's happening in my world. Well, can I urge you to look to Christ and to see that God keeps his promises? He has sent the serpent crusher he promised in Genesis. He has sent the king in the line of David. Matthew tells us in the opening verses of his book, Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. God is a faithful God who will send a deliverer for his people. All of us, his promises are yes in Christ. And the Jeremiah prophesied that the promise that we can hold to in this new covenant is God will forgive our wickedness and remember our sins no more. So whatever you've been doing, seen or unseen, thoughts, actions, words, God will forgive you of those through Jesus Christ. He will remember them no more, not a single one of them. Maybe today we just need to remind ourselves that God will keep his promises. A very simple Sunday school lesson for all of us, that God will keep his promises to us. But I wonder, do you need to hold on to the promise of forgiveness today? I wonder, do you need to come to Jesus for forgiveness today and to know that he will remember your sins no more? A promise to hold on to. And this promise of forgiveness isn't the only promise that he gives to us. He also promises us a new helper in this new covenant, the Holy Spirit himself, who comes and indwells us to allow us to be obedient to his commands. One writer said, to run and walk the law commands, it gives me neither feet nor hands, but better news the gospel brings. It bids me fly, it gives me wings. We are indwelt by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. This is the new helper given in the new covenant. We're also promised a new heavens and a new earth one day, where God will be our God and we will be his people and we'll know the full reality of all the Old Testament has pointed to. Do we need to hold to those promises today? I know I do. As I am bombarded with the latest news, facts, figures, conspiracy theories, these are the promises we need to take to the bank and walk in the reality of. A promise to hold on to. Secondly, a sacrifice to embrace. How is God going to do all of this? Well, all the covenants in the Old Testament always had a sacrifice as a key part of them. Abraham, Moses, David, all sacrificed at the time of their covenants. So did Noah. But particularly in the covenant with Moses, that the Old Testament calls the Old Covenant, had a really stringent sacrificial system of sacrificing lambs and animals on a weekly and on a yearly basis for the forgiveness of their sins. And before Jesus came along, God's people would have rocked up to the temple for worship and would have brought animals and the blood would have been everywhere. And the smell of dead animals would have been there as well. But today, we come here to Hamilton Road Baptist, and there's no blood at the front. There's no smell of dead animals. The windows are open, the ventilation condition is good in here. It's possibly slightly too cool. But we come today and there's no blood because Christ has been the once for all final sacrifice. Sufficient for us today. No longer do we need to rock up with an animal in the boot of our car. We come to God through Jesus Christ today. The writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12 says, he did not enter by means of blood of goats and calves. He entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The Old Testament was a shadow, and Christ is now the substance of what we celebrate today. Christ gave himself for us. And this is a sacrifice for us to embrace. John the Baptist, as Jesus began his earthly ministry, said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I wonder today, will you behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who takes away your sin, and God remembers them no more? There's a promise to hold to. There's a sacrifice to embrace. Thirdly, there's a sign to help us to remember. Just in the same way that God gave a sign of a rainbow in the sky to help Noah and his descendants remember, just in the same way that Abraham was given a sign of circumcision to help him remember, just as the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant with Moses, so now in Christ, a sign comes with this new covenant, and the sign is baptism and the Lord's Supper. The bread and the wine that we come to celebrate today, signs and symbols that God is faithful to his word, that God will keep his promises, that Christ has died for us, his body has been broken for us, his blood has been shed for us. And boys and girls, this bread and wine that you see passed around, it's just something to help the grown-ups and to help you to remember. God will forgive us our sins. God will be faithful to his promises. Jesus said in the upper room in Matthew 26, 28, "This is my blood of the covenant poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." There is nothing magical about this bread and this juice, but it's a wonderful symbol to help us to remember what God has done for us. And fifthly, and finally, you'll be glad to hear a command for us to obey. Covenant is always two ways between God and man. And God always keeps his side of the covenant, his side of the bargain. And yet throughout history and throughout the sweep of the Old Testament, we, God's people, were always disobedient. We always failed to obey. And now in Christ, Christ has come to fulfill the law, to perfectly obey the law. But that doesn't mean that we can just live any way that we want. No, Christ also says, "Well, here's the grace that I am going to show you. Now go and live this way." Christ calls us to an even higher standard than the Old Testament law does. He gives us commands to follow, not so that we get right with God, but to show the outworking of our faith. James says that faith without works is dead. And then, I'm sorry, fifthly and finally, I can't count, a call to worship. So there's a promise, there's a sacrifice, there's a sign, there's a command. And fifthly and overarching, this is a call for us to worship today. The new covenant in Christ is a call for us to worship God for who he is. Throughout the covenants in the Old Testament, God progressively reveals who he is to Noah, to Abraham, to Moses, and to David, gradually more and more of who he is. And then Christ comes and God reveals himself in human form. says, this is me. This is what love is. This is what it is to love your enemies. This is what it is to be full of grace and truth. This is God in human flesh. God has revealed himself to mankind that if you have seen the Son, you have seen the Father. And it's a call to worship. It's a call to worship through Jesus, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way, the only truth, and the only life. Because no one can come to the Father except through him. As we come to celebrate the new covenant, the death and the resurrection of Jesus today, it's the only way that we can worship God. There is no other way. And yet how wonderful it is that we get to worship God today. We may not be able to sing. It's painful. But we can worship in so many other ways today. At home or here in the building. I wonder, will you hear this call to worship Jesus today? As we close, we all love something new. And here I'm going to just summarize some of the new things compared to the old covenant. The way that the new covenant is new compared to the old. And would these truths just infiltrate and help us to be called into worship of our God today? The old covenant had the blood of animals and the new covenant has the blood of Christ. The old covenant is written in stone. The new covenant is written in our hearts. The old covenant is a shadow and the new covenant is a substance. The old covenant was glorious. The new covenant was more glorious. The old covenant had an end. The new covenant has no end. The old covenant was a law of Moses. The new covenant is the law of Christ. The old covenant is the law of works. The new covenant is the law of faith. The old covenant had many sacrifices. The new covenant has one sacrifice. The old covenant was powerless to save. The new covenant is powerful to save. The old covenant had an annual atonement. The new covenant has an eternal atonement. The old covenant had an earthly tabernacle. The new covenant has a heavenly tabernacle. The old covenant was a ministry of death. The new covenant is a ministry of life. The old covenant is an outer form flesh. The new covenant is the inner reality, the spirit. The old covenant is a ministry of condemnation. The new covenant is a ministry of reconciliation. Brothers and sisters, we are reconciled to God today. He will be our God and we will be his people. Let's celebrate that together. Theo and Ollie are going to come and sing to us, "He Will Hold Me Fast." And even as you consider your own faithlessness to God in the past, Woodley's words just encourage us that God will be faithful. He has been, he is, and he will be. Thanks, Theo and Ollie.